Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, so at the welcome table, there is cards if you want to go to Ladies Retreat, and there's also cards, invite cards for Friend Day, which is next Sunday, the 10th. So that is like next Sunday, okay? Are you all getting the picture? That's next Sunday. It's a week away. Friend Day, next Sunday. So for Friend Day, what do you need to bring?
Potato salad.
What else?
Dessert.
What else? All right. So there's a couple things you need to bring. Three things next Sunday. Okay? One, bring a friend. Two, bring a main dish. And three is a salad or dessert. Three things. You can remember three things. If we get beyond three, then people forget. Okay? So three things. Friend, main dish. Okay? And bring a little bit extra because we're not expecting any guests to bring anything. So bring a little bit extra. And then a salad or a dessert. You don't have to bring both. If you want to bring both, that's great, but you don't have to. So, and when we followed that system, we've always had plenty of food, and nobody has gone away hungry, all right? So we're just going to continue on in our parable series next Sunday. We're not going to have like lights and, you know, techno music and stuff like that. It's just going to be, we're just going to invite people to be here with us. And a disco ball? Yeah. We can maybe pull one out there, Becky. All right. We are going to be in Luke chapter 19 today, talking, I've entitled the message, Until He Returns. So just a little bit of background. We've 2 weeks ago we did one. It's entitled Ready or Not, Here I Come, right? And so this one kind of builds on this again, same idea, talking about the return of Christ. Now, there's a couple terms that are used within Scripture. There's called the rapture, right? Which technically isn't found in Scripture. Did you know that? Now, what is found is in Thessalonians, it says the church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So that word rapture is where that word rapture comes. It means to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, okay? The second coming of Christ then is when Jesus will come back to earth, and that is a good or bad experience depending on where you're at with God, okay? Okay? If you are with God and serving God, it's a good day, right? He's coming back. Woo! Right? Okay, if you're not ready and you're not ready for Him, it's a bad day because it's judgment day, all right? And so that is the second coming of Christ. That is found in Isaiah, Revelation, and Daniel. Old Testament, New Testament, all ties that all together, that when He comes that second time, He's going to establish His kingdom again in Jerusalem, okay? And for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Him. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, you have the white throne judgment where all people will be judged, especially the wicked. And you have the new heaven and new earth. So that is end time stuff right in the nutshell, all right? Today, we're going to talk about Until He Returns. And this parable that we're going to look at is the parable of the minas, okay? Can you say minas?
Minas.
All right. Can you say minas?
Minas.
All right. Now, you can also, some translations say pounds. And then you go over to Matthew's gospel. He has a similar parable that is the parable of the talents. So I think a lot of people are more familiar with the parable of the talents found in Matthew's gospel. But they're different. There's similarities, but they're different. And so what we see is that Jesus would many times use the same content, but He would adjust some of His parables, His stories, to His audience, okay, and those He was speaking with. What we're going to find out here is that He is on His way in the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 9, verse 51, He begins to make His way to Jerusalem. So as He's going from town to town on His way to Jerusalem, he is sharing these messages. And so as he gets to close to Jerusalem, the people are concerned about the return of the Messiah. That is on their mind, and it talks about that. Luke is going to mention that. So that is at the forefront of what they're thinking. And so you see that come through in this parable this morning. All right? And so what we're going to see here is there was a lot of political tension in Jerusalem, and they're wondering when the Messiah would appear and deliver them from Roman oppression. So let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Let's bow our heads and just look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into our scripture. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your holy word that guides and leads and directs us. It helps us to know how to live. It helps us to know about God, to know you better, Lord, and how that we should live our lives to glorify you. And so, Father, this morning, in these moments we have, we just pray that it is allowed to penetrate our hearts and our minds, and that it can speak to us by your Holy Spirit. And we give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's look at starting in verse 11 this morning of chapter 19. It says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. He's just talked about Zacchaeus. Okay, we get the story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was what? What was his occupation? He was a tax collector. What town? What town? Yes. Come on. You're supposed to know all this stuff. No, they're on their way to Jerusalem. It's the town you get in the valley before you get to Jerusalem. It's where the walls all came tumbling down. Jericho. All right. And so Jesus has a divine encounter in Jericho, and Zacchaeus is converted in a very powerful way. He gives back what he has taken from people, because tax collectors made a lot of their extra income from overcharging people, their taxes. And he commits to giving back to people and getting his life right with God. So while they were still listening to this, he went on to them to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. So they're anticipating the Messiah to show up. So the Messiah was the term, the anointed leader that was going to deliver Israel. Okay, Messiah means anointed one. That's also what Christ means, by the way. Okay, and so they were looking for this person that was going to deliver Israel from Roman oppression. All right. He said, a man of noble birth, this is the story, went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So he's going off to another country. He is going to be crowned king there, and he's going to assume authority over this kingdom, and then he will be back. Okay, so we're getting already a picture that when Jesus was crucified and was resurrected, he then ascended into heaven, right? Getting the picture? And he says, I am coming back, right? Okay, I'm going to go get things situated in heaven, but then I'm going to return. So you kind of see how this parable ties in with all that. Verse 13. He called, before he left, he called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. So minas, pounds, that was equal to 100 days' wage. Okay? So 100 days' wage, we'll just say 100 days' wage is equal to $100. Okay? I know minimum wage would be under that, but most people, you know, it can go anywhere up to more than that. Okay? So just for the math purposes, if you're getting paid $100 a day for 100 days, you're going to have how much money? Come on, my mathematicians. Over 1,000. Okay? I got some math people here. How much is it? 10,000. All right. 10,000. Now, $10,000, what would you do with $10,000? Give it to the poor people? You can't even buy it. You give it to your church? Yeah. Yes, right there. All right. That's amazing. $10,000. You ever train good guys? No. $10,000, you know, that doesn't even buy us a car nowadays, at least not a new one, does it? Wow. And it definitely doesn't pay for a semester of college either. So, but let's get back to our story. He gives them each, we'll say $10,000, okay? That's our terms. And he said, put this money to work. The ESV says, engage in business while I am gone. Use that money. Engage it. Put it to work is the idea. Until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him. So as his king leaves to assume the authority of another country, some people follow him out of town and say, don't come back! Okay? You're leaving and we don't ever want to see you come back. Okay? Yeah, that probably hurt, didn't it? But, again, we kind of see the picture that not everybody wants Jesus to be the king of their life, but also the king of this world, do they? Right? Did Jesus, when he walked this earth, did he face hostility, right? Okay, so you see that part. That is not included in Matthew's gospel. Verse 15. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for his servants, so he returns. And the servants to whom he had given money, he ordered to find out what they had gained with it. He wants an account. What did you do with what I have entrusted to you? You're my servants, you're my stewards. I gave you this money. Report back to me what you did with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned me how many more? 10 more. So instead of $10,000, he now has $100,000. Not bad. Well done, my good and faithful servant, the master replied. Because you've been trustworthy with a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. So he's given responsibilities. Now he's the governor, commissioner of 10 cities. The second one came and said, sir, your mina has earned me 5 more. So he has, instead of 10,000, he has 50,000? 50,000. All right? His master answered, you can take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. Here's your $10,000 back. I have kept it for you in a piece of cloth and a handkerchief. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. So the servant is worried that what happens if he invests it and he loses the money? Can that happen? Yeah, you can invest it. You can start up a business. And I don't know what the percentage is of businesses that make it and don't. Okay, but not all businesses that start off make it. Some go bankrupt. Some of them don't make it, right? You can invest it. Savings is usually a pretty safe place. But if you invest it in the stock market, it may be there. And you may make money or you may lose it, right? Okay. He goes, I didn't do anything with it. I just wrapped it up in a cloth and hid it away. The master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit? At least you could have put it in the savings account, made, what is it now, 0.001%? Right? Something like that. It's not much. At least you could have put it in, made a little bit of interest on it. But he didn't even do that. Verse 24, then he said to those standing by, take this mina away from him and give it to the one that has 10. Sir, they said, he already has 10. But he replied, I tell you, everyone who has more will be given. But for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, remember that delegation that went out? Bring them here and what? Kill them in front of me. Ooh, Jesus! Can't do that, right? What can we take away from this parable? You guys are going to take it away. Bring them here and slaughter them, right? All right. Let's see what we can pull away from this. First of all, there's some principles I can take away. So, children, do you have your sheets to fill out? Because you want your prize. All right. Okay. All right. Number one, we must engage this world until Jesus comes. Isn't that what he tells them? He says, take what I've entrusted to you and put it to work. Engage business. Put that money to work. And in this case, it's money, and I don't think we need to take that word as a term that take what God has given to us. What has God given to you and I? Okay, I didn't get a mina in the mail from God. Now, he has entrusted me with things. Okay, he says that all the money that we get belongs ultimately to God. But what has God entrusted to us? Wealth and talents, so I call it time, treasure, treasure's money, and then talent. So that's three T's, if that helps you to remember. Time, treasure, and talent. God has entrusted us with time, okay, that we can use towards doing whatever God has called us to do. One is he's called us the Great Commission to share our faith with the world around us. You don't even have to go to another country. If God calls you to do that, that is awesome, and that is great. But there are so many opportunities right outside our doorstep, at work, at school, at Walmart, at Shopko, at Target, at Menards. That's where my wife and I go on dates. We go to Menards. All right. We had our first two nights in an empty house. So you can do, we have time, right? That God has entrusted to us. And he expects us to use that to do his work. He's also entrusted us with treasure, okay? And that treasure may differ. You may have one talent. You may have 10. The key isn't that he's given you all that. Are you faithful with what he's entrusted to you? Are you taking what he's given you and using it for his glory and his honor? All right? Thirdly, talent. That's the real treasure, is that we all have talents and skills. Now, some of you may say, hey, I could never get up and do what you do, Pastor Brett. Great. But you know what? God has gifted each of you to do different things, okay? Some of them can sing well, okay? And I can kind of sing okay, but not like them, all right? I cannot do gymnastics. That is one thing I cannot do. I would be in the hospital if I did gymnastics, all right? Can you do gymnastics for God's glory? I think you can. I think there's a lot of talents, whether it's being creative in crafts. I came here on Thursday night and saw the ladies doing their craft night, and I saw not only just having a good time, but I saw people learning some good skills, sewing and stuff like that, that they can actually use to provide for the family. That's cool, folks. We have these gifts, and some people are, you know, Sarah's helping me out with in the office, just very part-time, and she's hiding from me right now. There she is. But she enjoys doing stuff that I don't enjoy doing. Okay, but she actually enjoys doing it, and that's just kind of like, that's an awesome thing. Okay, but it's finding those things that, what has God gifted us at, and are we using that for his glory and for his honor? We are to engage our world until he returns. And when we had the message 2 weeks ago, we talked about ready or not, here he comes, and we're waiting, but there's more than that waiting. There's that expectation that he's going to come back. And I think there was a time when the Assemblies of God first started off in the 1900s, and I think people even thought, you know what, Jesus is going to come, so I'm not going to pay my bills, right? I'm not going to work. I'm just going to wait. Okay, I'm going to sit home in my recliner and wait for Jesus, right? Okay, and there's been a few times where Jesus is going to come in 2000. I don't know when the last one was. So people just kind of wait around. They just drop. They don't pay their bills. They don't do anything. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be working and engaging our world, doing what he's called us to do. And when he comes, we should be working. Okay, there's the other parables. Two will be working at the mill. One will be taken. One will be left. Two will be doing this. One will be taken. The other one will be left. He wants us to be working when he returns. Not sitting in the recliner. He wants us to be working and doing his work. Okay? Make your life a witness at work, at home, online, at play. Our life should reflect Jesus Christ. People should be able to go to your Facebook page and say, you know what? They are a godly person. Okay? They are a godly person. And I learn more about Christ through their life. They should be able to hear our conversations and say, you know what, at work. And say, you know what, I want to know more about the God and who they are in Christ. They should be able to watch our actions just working around the yard and hanging out. They should be able to look at our lives and say, wow, I want what they have. They should see us at school, whether it's public school or college, and just how we live our life. You miss Daniel? That is good. You should be able to look at their life and say, you know what? I want what they have in their life. You know what? Why is that important? You notice that the people aren't given more money in this parable. In the parable of the talents, they're given more talents, right? In this parable, instead of giving more money, they're given what? They're given responsibilities. Okay? You earn 10 more minas, you get 10 cities. And so as they were faithful, they are given responsibility. Did you know that your time on earth is preparing you for heaven? I don't know what you think about heaven is going to be like, okay? But Scripture says that we are going to rule and reign with Him. Did you know that? That He is actually, our time on earth is actually preparation for heaven. And that whatever God does in us there seems to be a connection with what we're going to do in eternity. Now, I know some of you want to, fish that bass lake out back in heaven or do other things. Golf, maybe. Craft away, right? I'm sure they are going to need, cross-stitching, and they're going to need quilting up there. I don't know if they're going to have seasons up in heaven or not. I guess I don't know. I'm sure that they're going to need blankets, though. The object is that we are to engage our world until He returns and to be active and busy. All right? Number two, we must live out of faith and not fear. We must live out of faith and not fear. Why do I say that? Because the one servant, what did he do with his mina? He hid it, right? He put it in a cloth and a handkerchief and he hid it. Why? He was fearful of what would happen if he lost it, of the master. Now, the master was generous. And I don't think the master was going to punish him if he would have invested it, if he would have done something with it and lost it. I think what the master was saying is put it to work and do your best to utilize it for my glory. And so maybe he had fear of the master, but maybe he even had fear of what others would think. Remember that delegation that went out, right? And says, we don't want you to be our king. What about these servants that were now working in that community, investing the money that the master had given them? Do you think there were some people that didn't appreciate what they were doing because they were the master's servants? Maybe. And so maybe there was fear of not only the master, but fear of those that oppose their master. But fear can do an amazing thing. It can paralyze us. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the dream that you're in this dream and all of a sudden you're in the woods and the bear is chasing you, right? A big old Alaskan brown bear. Okay? They're like 12 feet high. Okay? I've seen them. Okay? They're big. They're mean. And they will eat you. Yes, they will. All right? And so you have this dream. Okay? And he's chasing you, and what happens to you? You're frozen, right? You can't run. I don't know why in your dreams you just, why? You're paralyzed with fear, right? And fear can do that to us. Instead of doing what God has called us to do, and fear intimidates us, and we get paralyzed, and we do nothing with what God has entrusted to us. If there's anything I know about God, God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to be people of faith. And I believe I have the heart of God in this, that God would rather you take a risk and do things for Him, even if it means a big risk. When we came to Crete, we knew that there was a risk involved in starting a church. Over 50% don't make it in that first year, folks. That's a risk. But it's one that we felt that God was in, and we were willing to take it. All right? I believe that if anything is worth doing, it's worth failing at. And I believe if we would have came here and the church didn't take off and didn't go, I think God would have, I believe we would have been in the will of God and it wouldn't have been a failure in the eyes of God. We have to be willing to take those godly risks with what He has entrusted us with. I think of just even the apostles. You look at the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost comes and they receive the Holy Spirit and the church begins to grow, but then persecution comes. But even before the persecution happens and scatters them, they get persecution from the religious leaders, right? They're told, they're brought in, they're flogged and told to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. Fortunately, they didn't listen to them and they still continued to share Christ with them. All right? And they went forward, and then persecution breaks out. But even then, they shared Christ in Samaria and other parts of the world. They took the gospel message. And I believe that we have to operate out of faith and not fear. And lastly, number three, we must understand that each person will receive their just reward. Every person will receive their just reward. Did everybody receive their just reward in that story? They did, right? The one that went and got 10 more, he got 10 cities. The one that went and got 5 more, he got 5 cities. The one that didn't do anything with his, got his taken away, given to somebody else. Was that just? Yeah, it was. And the ones that opposed the master, they got what they deserved. And God is going to give each person a just reward. And I think we need to take that into account as we live our lives for God. And He's entrusted some pretty incredible things to us. Talent, treasure, time. What are we doing with those things? We don't know when He's going to return. You can say, you know what, I'm going to do that later. You know what, how many procrastinators do we have in the room? Right? We got a few of you. You know, yeah, we procrastinate. I see some of you looking at your spouses, you know. Right? We procrastinate. Well, I can do that tomorrow. I can do that tomorrow. We can do that tomorrow. But when God has called us to do things today, we need to do those things that He's placed upon our heart. Because we do not know the day or the hour that Christ is going to return. We want to be ready. We want to be waiting. We want to be a good steward of what He's entrusted to us. And the idea of stewardship is that all those things do not belong to us. He's entrusted them to us to utilize for His glory and His honor, to be a faithful steward of that. I'm going to have the musicians come this morning. You got it all filled in? All right. I want us to stand this morning. If we could stand, and I'm going to close with that chorus, "Even So Come." Before we go into that song, though, I just want everybody to stand, if you could. And I want just to give a moment for the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and to our life. It'd be easy to just do a blanket thing and say, hey, you need to do this, 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 and this. Right? But I believe that God wants to speak to our hearts. The Holy Spirit knows what's in the heart of each person. He knows the talents and the gifts and everything that He's placed within each of you. And the voice you need to listen to is what God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit. To be the person that He's called you to be. And just to rise up to that challenge. To not live your life in fear, but to live it in faith. To live it in faith. Because Jesus is going to return, and when He does, He's going to reward each one based upon how they've done. We're not saved by what we do, but we are rewarded by what we do. Does that make sense? We're saved by faith. But until He returns, He wants His church to be accomplishing the mission with which He entrusted it to. Amen. Let's just take a moment. Would you just bow your heads this morning? Would you just take a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and speak life there, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, we just praise your name. Jesus, oh my God. Jesus, oh my God. Jesus, oh my God. Jesus, oh my God. Father, this morning we just come before you. Some may think you are hard and difficult to please, but Lord, I believe that all you want us to do is just to serve you with our whole heart, our body, our soul, our mind. That is the greatest commandment. The second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we do that, we fulfill all the law. We fulfill all your demands. And Father, you've left to prepare a place for us in heaven, and you're going to return. You're going to return for those that are ready for you, that are waiting, that are expecting you. And Lord, you're going to reward each person based upon how we have faithfully carried out what you've left us to do. And Lord, so I pray that you just speak to our hearts. That when you do return, we can all hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That should be our desire, to hear those words. Father, we just ask this in your precious and holy name. And we give it to you, Father. Hallelujah. They're going to lead us in that chorus. Would you just reflect upon that this morning? Allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and your life. And Jay, if you could join me at the front here, and Gina. And I'll be over here this morning. Gary, Mary. One of my lectures this week, the professor just, this one phrase that just kind of stuck out, he was just talking about our daily routines and our abiding in Christ and just how everything we do flows out of that. But he said that your future success lies within your daily routine. Your future success, the secret to your future success lies in your daily routine. The secret to your future success lies in your daily routine. In other words, how you live your daily life, that fruit comes forth. And that's what leads to success and favor. It's nothing that you can just snap your fingers and happen. It lies in those things that many times people don't even see. The diligence that goes in, whether it's the prayer time or working hard, the things that go unnoticed by everybody else, but see, that's the secret to your future success. And before we leave this morning, I just sense that God is speaking to some of us, but there's some things that we need to die to, folks. God is maybe saying, you know what, this needs to end. This needs to end in your life. And some of those things die hard. Those habits die hard. But if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, those things have to die. Those things have to die. And if God is speaking to your heart, I just want to lead us in a prayer this morning. Maybe we need to bury some things this morning. Dear God, I just pray that your presence fills this place. This is not the day or the hour for us to be living a casual Christian life, Lord. We have to be all or nothing. And Father, there's some things in our lives. You've called us, you redeemed us, you've saved us. We thank you for the grace of God that drew us to you. But Father, there's also things in our lives that we maybe have to die to, Lord, whether it's thoughts, whether it's conversations. Lord, whether it's just habits within our life that we know that they don't glorify you, but they die hard. And Father, this morning we just agree together and just submit those things before you. We place them on the altar and say, God, we need your help. We need your grace to change, to be transformed. Tessa read the passage, "For anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and behold, all things have become new." And because of that, we are your ambassadors to this world. Lord, my prayer is that we can be a bright light for you, that your glory and your presence will shine through our lives. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Find a couple hands to shake and say, he is coming soon. Amen. God bless you this morning.